United States Secretary of State John Kerry met with the Vatican Secretary of State Archbishop Pietro Parolin yesterday for more than an hour, speaking about issues ranging from Syria to the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. One of the members of Kerry's staff present at the meeting was the head of the State Department's Office of Faith-Based Community Initiatives, Sean Casey. The six-month-old office is part of an effort to recognize the role religion plays in affecting U.S. foreign policy. Mr. Casey spoke to Charles Collins after Secretary Kerry's meeting with Archbishop Parolin.
I tell people I have three jobs. The first job is to advise the Secretary of State when religion cuts across one of his major issues. And if you look at the major issues of the day, religion cuts across almost all the tasks that he's involved in. So I spend a lot of time trying to help him get up to speed on how religion works in different geographical areas and issues. The second thing I'm trying to do is to help the U.S. State Department grow a capacity for religious engagement. If you think about the work we traditionally do in aid and development, human rights, and conflict mitigation, faith-based groups are involved in all of that. So we need to do better at listening and learning from what those faith-based groups are doing across the mission of the State Department. And the third piece is simply to be the point of contact where faith-based groups or religious groups per se can come and meet with us at the State Department and learn what we do and perhaps share information about what they do in different geographical regions around the world. I've already met with over 300 religious groups in the first 5 months of my work. So there's a tremendous demand on the part of faith-related organizations to come and look for ways they might partner with us or learn what we're doing so that they might get better at what they do.
How does your office relate with other offices in the State Department, like the Religious Freedom Office? There's offices for Muslim outreach, anti-Semitism. Do you work together? Is it very separate affairs?
We're partners and we're peers all across that space, and the feeling is we can help each other get better at what our specific missions are. Now, the International Religious Freedom Office has been mandated by an act of Congress, so we have an ambassador at large position there, and we have a large staff that produces a global report every year on the state of religious freedom in all the countries around the globe. I don't do that work, but sometimes I hear stories about particular instances in countries, and I often am a conduit for that, those reports and information. I pass them on to the International Religious Freedom Office. So they have a very large, distinct mission, and they're probably, I guess, the largest office of all the ones that you named that work in the religion space. So we try to help one another out. We feel like that to the extent we have a capacity across the various great faiths of the world, we're good. And so we're looking for ways we can always help one another get better and be successful. So it's not a competitive thing at all. In fact, it's very collegial, which I'm very much very happy to know.
Is it difficult dealing with diplomats from the United States, especially the United States has a constitutional separation of church and state? Sometimes government officials, when you say religion, are frankly terrified about crossing lines and offending people. How hard is it to get people with that mentality to take religious groups and countries seriously?
This has been one of the greatest surprises and, frankly, joys of my first 6 months of work. I had been prepared, really, to find a lot of those folks like that at the State Department, and exactly the opposite has been the case. What I've discovered is across this vast building where there are thousands of us who work, there's been a growing realization that we don't do religious engagement at our diplomatic peril. If you want to understand what's going on in so many places of the world and want to understand what's really happening in civil society, you have to understand the religious group. So even our most secular folk who work there who have no particular religious commitments themselves understand pragmatically we need to have a capacity to understand in Syria or in Afghanistan or you name any country, we need to understand the religious dynamics on the ground there. So I've met just hundreds of people inside the building who are very pleased to see that we're growing this capacity, and they're constantly coming through my office saying, how can we partner with our office and your office to get mutually better at what we're called to do?
Can you give us some on-the-ground examples of your work?
Sure. I, this past November, attended a forum in Vienna that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia had convened, this first really global gathering of 500 interfaith leaders. And I was able to go and observe and also address the group. And I saw 500 faith leaders from across the world. We shared stories. I understood to a much better degree than I had previously about some very heroic interfaith work that's going on, particularly in trying to mitigate conflict around the world. So that's one thing I do is I go and I listen and I meet people. But there have been some very specific areas where you think about Central African Republic, you think about what's going on in South Sudan now, where religion cuts across both of those conflicts in different ways, where when the conflict flared up, we needed to find faith leaders on the ground who might call for peace and who had networks and denominations and churches. So one of the things I helped do was to actually identify indigenous religious leaders on the ground so that we could begin to encourage them to push out message of peace and asking them to call their own fellow faith members to not participate in the conflict. So sometimes I respond in crisis situations. The other thing that I'm doing that I find really very interesting is we're thinking about studying how the United States government has done religious engagement in the past and taking the lessons learned from that and the best practices so that we can then train to it when our Foreign Service officers come through our Foreign Service Institute. So we're looking at developing a curriculum for new ambassadors and for Foreign Service officers to get smarter on how do they engage in religion in whatever country they happen to be in. I'm a teacher by background. I come from an academic orientation, so I'm very eager to think about how we might teach the skill set of religious engagement to our diplomatic corps.
Today, John Kerry met with officials here at the Vatican. He's also been in the Middle East dealing with the issues there. Is he, in this very time period, is the religious issues that do come up both in the Middle East, in Syria, you mentioned some of the other areas in Africa, but we're seeing him in the news here. Is it really at the forefront of what he's doing right now?
It cuts across almost everything he does. What I like to tell people, if you look at the address that Pope Francis gave yesterday to the Vatican Diplomatic Corps here, and you look at the major issues that the Pope highlighted as his concerns, they overlap exactly with the concerns of the United States government. Now, that's not to say we have exactly the same perspective on them, but it is to say the Middle East peace process, Syria, the persecution of Christians in the Middle East, again, Africa, environment, the global climate change issues, global poverty issues, those are exactly the issues that Secretary Kerry is trying to address in terms of American diplomacy. So we felt like this was actually an opportune time. Secretary Kerry has been in office less than a year. Archbishop Parolin has only been in office for a couple of months. So we thought, let's see if we can't schedule a meeting for these two leaders to talk about what's on their minds in terms of diplomacy and look for areas of potential cooperation and overlap. And I was telling Secretary Kerry that in my lifetime, this is perhaps where I see the greatest agreement and overlap about what the big issues are in terms of foreign policy between the Vatican and the United States as well. So it's a very interesting time for the two of them to come together and share with each other what's on their minds.
Staying on that theme, how does your office work? I mean, you have the United States has diplomatic relations with the Holy See. How does your office relate in those relations?
Well, I have a great relationship with Ambassador Kenneth Hackett, who is America's ambassador to the Holy See. We started about the same time. He actually came to my beginning a rollout event, they call it, where Secretary Kerry announced my office, which was back in August. And Ambassador Hackett came and was there, so I got to meet him before he came here to Rome. And we have a lot of mutual friends. He worked at Catholic Relief Service for years. My doctoral dissertation advisor actually turned out to be an advisor to Catholic Relief Service. So we have a lot of history and relationships together. I think I can help him be successful. I know he can help me be successful in what I want to do. So we have a mutual partnership, if you will. So when I came here and I was with Ambassador Hackett in Secretary Kerry's meetings today, he brings a reservoir of experience and knowledge that far outstrips mine. But to the extent I can help him in his work or help Secretary Kerry in his work with Ambassador Hackett, I'm here to add value to that.
As a final question, this is you're in your first year in office first year of the office.
Right.
We've begun a new year. I mean,
right.
what do you hope to have achieved by the end of 2014?
I hope that my office will have made Secretary Kerry more successful in some of these vexing spaces where he's working, and to help him understand the dynamics of lived religion in the countries that he's concerned about. So there's sort of a, if you will, a research advising function in my office where I want him to know that he can come to us and we'll try to help him be as smart as possible as he's dealing with the various issues that are popping up. Secondly, I want to build a staff. I'm still in the process of getting a staff together. And the amazing thing is there are people in the State Department who are smart about world religion and are smart about diplomacy. So I'm walking the halls looking for those smart people, and we're just really at the point of beginning to staff up so that we can serve the needs of a lot of different bureaus within the State Department. And I guess the last thing is we keep a record of everybody we meet with. My hunch is we will meet with several hundred different groups. So that's a success in and of itself. But what will be even more successful, I think, is when they come back to us after meeting us the first time. And this has already started. They'll come to us with requests. They'll come to us with advice. They'll come to us with questions. How can we get better at what we do in certain spaces? So now folks are, now that they know we're there and they've expressed a great enthusiasm for that, we can measure how that enthusiasm continues if they keep coming back and engaging with us.